Well, you want to take a ride? Yes, you do. On the paranormal side, we'll do that with Betsy Lewis and your calls when we come back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, Betsy Lewis with us. We're going to take your phone calls about the other side, about Earth energy as well. Tell me about these ley lines all over the planet, Betsy, these energy ley lines.
Well, they run everywhere, and a lot of theories are that they're linked to water underneath there, the magnetic properties of water. So I think that's pretty interesting. But so many structures are built over churches, are built on these ley lines, supposedly Stonehenge, just other places. Great structures, any kind of monolithic structures, Mayan temples. So it's as if our ancestors knew about these ley lines and incorporated that energy.
Is this a universal thing? Is this just on the planet? What do you think?
I would think that it's universal. I think what we have here would probably be in other planets and other solar systems. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so, too. To me, it's probably one of the greatest discoveries, if we could ever tap into it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And use it. I think Tesla wanted to do that, didn't he?
Well, he was doing experiments in Colorado, and I understand some of those experiments, he could stick a light bulb into the ground, and it would light up.
Now, one of your other books was called Mystic Revelation of 13. Tell us about that.
Well, there is so many strange coincidences of 13. Now, the number 13 in numerology is a power number, but it's also linked to the Illuminati. And what's really strange is that our current Pope, Pope Francis, is like tied to so many 13s. He was elected on March 13th. And he was 76 years old at the time, which is 13.
Yeah.
I mean, it just goes on and on about 13 with him. And it makes you wonder, you know, if there was a reason that 13, he is tied to 13.
Not a good number for us.
Well,
maybe for him.
Well, some cultures believe that it's good luck. And other cultures believe that it's bad luck.
Yeah, I think luck is what you want it to be.
I think so, too. I think you're right.
You know, positive thinking and everything like that. Of things that you have investigated,
mm-hmm.
Okay? I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Uh-oh.
Do you see any futuristic danger happening here for us? Is something going to happen? Is there going to be that apocalypse, that calamity?
You know, I don't see the end of the earth. I see a changed earth. I see some mega changes coming up, earth changes. I have felt that something big is going to happen in the South Pacific. There's been a lot of big earthquakes. In fact, there was one tonight.
Oh,
I think it was, let's see, it was...
Like that
it
Indonesia
was in the Solomon Islands. So I just have a feeling there's going to be another huge event, and we're going to get like a 9-point earthquake down there. When we have the last one in Japan, it shook the whole earth. You know, when scientists say that these earthquakes aren't related and volcanoes aren't related to earthquakes, that's like saying our arms and legs aren't connected to our body.
Yeah. Now, the one tonight was a 6.3.
Yeah, and, right, right.
You know, the experts are beginning to say, though, that California could have a tsunami threat.
Really?
So that's got to be kind of scary. You got to watch out. And you don't know. You don't know what's coming unless they can prepare you for it.
Right, exactly. So you've got to trust your intuition. You've got to trust Mother Earth. And, you know, if there is something like that, you want to get to higher ground as fast as you can.
Watch the animals.
Right, right. When they start heading to higher ground, you know it's time to go.
Let's go to Uxbridge, Massachusetts. Now we'll get going with the calls. Stacy's with us. Hey, Stacy.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Stace.
Can I call you Betsy or you want Mrs. Lewis?
Oh, no, Betsy.
Call her Betsy.
Okay, well, I'm 42, so no. Anyway, I find it so fascinating. I'm just new to Coast to Coast. Years ago, I tried to listen to it, but my radio wasn't picking it up correctly because it bled together with another station, so I missed you last year.
Oh.
But I want to ask you a few questions of what you mentioned about yourself. Like, when you were 8 months old and you said you got abducted, do you ever have glimpses as to memories of that? I know you were young, but you know why.
Oh, thank you for that question. Well, when my uncle told me that my parents had missed 2 hours in time that they couldn't account for, I contacted MUFON in Los Angeles, and I was connected to Ann Druffel, who is renowned for her investigations on alien abductions, and she does hypnosis. And she's written many books on alien abduction. The Tatanka Canyon Contacts is one of her best-known books. But she regressed my mom and I separate. And what we uncovered was something even stranger. My mom said that she was frightened. She kept telling my father not to roll down the window when they had stopped after the noise stopped. She said it was like someone had turned a faucet on and off. That's how the sound was. It was just horrendous, and then it stopped. But she said that there was something outside. She was afraid that I was going to be abducted because I was only 8 months old and in the back seat. And she said there was a strange smell. She remembered that. And there was something in the sky, but we never uncovered exactly what that was. But when I was regressed, I recalled so many things that I had never known about, like the blanket that was covering me, what it looked like, what my parents were doing. And I felt that we had actually been abducted. And what I saw were the gray beings doing their experiments on us. We were in tube-like structures, and my mother kept calling out in this tube structure. She couldn't see me. My father was in another room. I could see him through a clear floor down below, and he was like paralyzed. He wasn't moving. They were doing experiments on me, and we were actually beamed aboard. I know that sounds very Trekky, but that's what I saw. And, you know, I don't know if the subconscious really, you know, tells you what exactly happens. They say it's accurate, but I still question, you know, the things that I revealed during that hypnosis session.
Okay, next up, let's go to Donna in Cleveland, Ohio. Hi, Donna, you're on with Betsy Lewis.
Hi.
Hey.
We have a lot of wildlife issues going on in the state of Ohio, you know, going up for vote and stuff where they don't treat the wildlife with any respect in the state of Ohio. I wanted to see if you see any of that changing in the near future. And then secondly, on a personal note, I just wondered if you've seen anything changing for me.
Well, Donna, you're telling me about wildlife and animals, the way they're treated?
Right. Just yeah.
Put your psychic in.
Like if you find an orphaned baby deer, you're not allowed to help it. You know, the wildlife division will come out and shoot it right like in front of your kids. You know, I mean, it's just, you're not allowed to help orphaned raccoons, nothing. And I feel personally it's my land and I can do what I want on my land, you know, if I'm willing to.
Well, let me answer this, Betsy.
Sure, go ahead.
I don't think there's going to be any change at all with people. They either love animals or they don't.
Yeah.
And
okay. Well, I know that, I mean, with the laws is more what I'm wondering. I know the people.
Well, if they haven't protected them yet, they're not going to do it now. And do you want to do any quick personal ones, Betsy?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, I've dealt with that here in Idaho. They have the ag gag law. I don't know if you've heard of that. And, you know, there was an incident at one of the big dairies here in southern Idaho where the workers were actually abusing the cows, and someone went in with a camera and photographed it. And now there's a law that stops people from going on people's property, and if they video it or do anything, they can be fined like $5,000 or put in jail for a year. I mean, protecting an animal. Animals don't have rights. And the thing is, we have to all understand that animals are sentient beings. They have souls. They have consciousness. They're intelligent. Recently, there was a fire here in Idaho, not too far from where I live, and they said that there was two parrots in there they didn't know about, and the parrots were actually calling out, "Help, fire." Now, how did they know how to do that? They thought there were humans in there until they found the parrots, and of course, they survived. They gave them a little oxygen, and they were fine, but, you know, I just think that when you hear about these things, you need to get out and do whatever you can. Do your best to speak up and stop the abuse of animals.
Betsy, how about a quick personal thing for Donna? Do you want to do that?
Well, sure.
Okay. What do you want to know, Donna?
Just if anything in my personal life is going to change, like if you see any good changes coming.
Oh, my God. You won't believe it. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead, Betsy.
You know, I'm just going to say this. I feel positive things for you, but I tell all the people that I do readings for that we create our own reality. And I know no one wants to believe that, but it's true. You know, if you think positive thoughts, you can change whatever is happening in your life now. And, you know, I am like a guidance for people, kind of a roadmap. I help people with what I see in their future, but you can certainly change anything. And I believe that goes for anyone. Intention and meditation, positive thinking, we can change our lives. It's just how we think. So I see positive things for you because you sound like a very positive person.
Positiveness is critical, I think, to getting all this done, isn't it?
It is. Absolutely.
What if you're negative?
Then yeah, if you're happens? Negative, then you know, there are some people that just have this dark cloud over them. We know some people like that. My husband deals with a client like that and everything bad in his life, but he's so negative. He just draws all these things to him. And that's what happens when you get into that pattern. You know, you're just pulling all the negative things into your life.
All right, back to the calls we go. Let's go to first-time caller Rebecca in San Diego. Hello, Rebecca. Go ahead.
Good morning, George. Good morning, Betsy.
Morning.
Good morning.
I agree with you that the Earth is a sentient being, and she's very protective of her innocent plants and animals. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I get this distinct feeling that all of the disruption in the weather, the volcanoes and earthquakes, as well as some of the deadly viruses and bacteria that can't be treated, are the Earth's way of shrugging humans off because we're not taking care of the Earth. And the reason I get this feeling is because ever since I was an infant, I've been visited by extraterrestrials. And as an infant, they started to teach me a lot of things, like how to use my sixth sense, how to have out-of-body experiences, how to have lucid dreams, how to use my positive energy. And they told me that it was all for a purpose and that I would know more later. I've never been abducted. I've always gone willingly.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to sound really wild, but about 20 years ago, I'm either having really wonderful lucid dreams, or they were teaching me and have been teaching me how to operate UFOs.
What do you mean, operate physically or mentally?
Well, it's mental.
Mental control.
I'm actually in the UFOs.
Jeez.
And they didn't fly with me. They just told me what to do, and they would communicate with me telepathically. And then they started to tell me it was so that I would be available to help evacuate like-minded people, like myself, so that they would not be afraid. And I know that sounds crazy.
Are you ready for that?
Yeah, absolutely, because they believe that they have watched us for so long and that so many people on this planet are destructive and negative and only into themselves, mm-hmm. and that they're interested in people that want to care for the Earth. And so there might be something disruptive with the Earth.
And
for a short time, some of us will be evacuated.
Betsy, let me ask you, how many people are prepared for a calamity?
Well, we keep hearing these stories of people building underground bunkers, and especially the government and what they're doing. I know that it's been investigated that there's something going on in the Ozarks and also under the Denver airport. So it seems like they know something is going to happen, and they've been planning on that for some time. I think that there's a theory that Planet X is out there, but I
think there is something out there somewhere.
I think that a lot of people are getting messages right now, psychic messages, and I think, you know, I always felt that I was given a message, and I'm not sure. I think part of it is the Earth changes. Maybe these are just screen memories, and maybe they're not even true memories, but we're getting a message that something is going to happen, and people know it.
Let's go east of the Rockies. John's with us in Ontario, Canada. Hey, John, go ahead, sir.
Hallelujah, I got through.
Yes, sir, you did.
Hi, John.
Nice to talk to you, George. Nice to talk to you, man.
You too, John.
I got a couple of things, George.
All right.
Okay, I'll do it as quick as possible.
Okay, we may hit the break, and if we do, I'll just put you on hold. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm sorry, miss. I forgot your...
Betsy, sir.
Betsy.
Pardon?
Betsy,
okay. You mentioned the inner voice as far as the psychic thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get it so that it's so strong, it's almost haunting?
Like you know there's a person in there. It is pretty strong, Betsy, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It is. Absolutely.
When you heard yours, who do you think it was? Was it you?
The voices that I hear?
Yeah.
Is it you? I've heard voices that wake me up early in the morning. Sometimes it's a female voice. I knew one time that it was my father telling me that my sister was going to pass, and I heard his voice so clearly, and I just knew it was him, and sure enough, she did pass right on his birthday, which was a sign that he was there for. So, you know, there are the guardian angels, our spirit guides. We get messages all the time, I think, especially when we dream. You know, we go into these other states of reality. And in those states of reality, we meet other souls and other spirits and our guardian angels.
Well, they're everywhere. Let's come back for final calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, pharmacist Ben joins us to talk about why so many people are dying from prescription drugs. Shocking. And then later on, Jerry Corsi joins us with this heated up situation between us and Iran. That'll be our next Coast to Coast show. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you and Betsy Lewis. Our final segment here as we talk about all the things that she has worked on for a long, long time. Are you glad you took the path that you've taken, Betsy?
I have. I'm so glad. And, you know, if it wasn't for my mother believing in all these things, she astral projected, she believed in telepathy, she was psychic, she was amazing. So I'm so glad I had that, you know, that support when I was growing up. Because I know a lot of kids now, all these new kids are coming into the world right now, and they're so talented, and they're telepathic, and they're psychic, and they remember past lives, and they have these incredible talents they're bringing in. So I think, you know, it's so amazing, and I don't know if they really have the support from their family members, because they probably don't understand what's going on and why they remember these past lives and things that are going on, or see spirits, you know.
We haven't talked much about the pyramids. What's your take on why they were built?
I think it was energy. I think it was like an energy beacon. That's why the alignment of them. I think that it was also a place of initiation for priests.
Mm-hmm.
According to Edgar Casey, and I believe part of it, when Atlantis was breaking up, many of the people from that great continent were moving into that area, into South America, and they brought many of their technologies. I believe that they had spaceships, they had, you know, all types of things that we now have. You know, they say that the pyramids, which is really interesting, they've never found any burn marks from torches. So how did they light the interior? That's always been a mystery.
Because it would be pretty dark.
Yes, it would be very dark.
Let's go to Gene, truck driving in Oregon. Gene, good morning. You're up with us.
Good morning. I had called many months ago about my sister calling me. So I'm going to hurry up and jump right into it.
Sure.
But you suggested a medium might be able to help me, so yeah. Hopefully. My sister called me 1980 or 81. She sounded disoriented, lost. Didn't know where she was. I kept asking her, where is she? She didn't know. I asked her where her baby was. She said she thinks he was sleeping. She didn't know where her husband was. But then she kept telling me, I gotta go. She faded away. She didn't even hang up. She just faded away. I wound up, I called her back, and she was having dinner with her husband, and her baby was sitting in the chair at the table. She didn't know what I was talking about. I know it was her. My husband answered the phone. He knew it was her. And all these years later, I'm still wondering what happened. What was that phone call? And my sister has passed away in 2007. And she's constantly on my mind.
What are those calls from the other side, Betsy?
Well, you know, when my father passed away, my sister started getting calls. Just before midnight, the calls would always ring once, and we'd run to the phone, and we'd try and catch it, and there was no one there. But it was always at midnight, and that was about the time he had passed away. So we called the phone company, and they said that there was nothing wrong, there was nothing going on. But the other side, when you're on the other side, you're pure energy, and your thoughts create everything. So you can control energy on that side, and it's really interesting that, you know, people in the spirit world like to mess with electrical things. I know even Cher has said that she has a chandelier and it keeps going off and on, and she thinks it's Sunny that's messing with her.
What are they trying to do? Communicate or just be mischief makers?
I think they just want us to realize that they're still there, although they can't see us or we can't see them. Sometimes we can see them. Sometimes they do materialize. We see the orbs that sometimes, you know, spirits that are communicating with us. But they just want us to know that they're there. There are spirits that are probably, you know, we've heard of ghosts and hauntings. There are
those
that are trapped in an in-between world, and they don't even know that they're dead. Others do. They're very controlling. They were angry spirits. They're angry humans when they died, and they brought that anger on the other side.
What about angels? We didn't talk a lot about them. What's going on there in the angelic realm?
I think there are angels. I believe that they are highly evolved beings that have never been in a physical form, that have come back and reincarnated like we are, and those are the angels. They are spirit guides, and our spirit guides, we all have them. They can change often through our lives. And it could be a family member that's our spirit guide. I think my sister right now is my spirit guide. And so we all have them.
Well, we sure do, don't we? Well,
mm-hmm.
What about the bed?
Have you ever had any spirit communication?
I've had a lot of intuitive communication,
mm-hmm.
but nothing direct. Not yet.
Not yet.
Have you ever been driving in a car and you see eyes in your rear view mirror?
No, but I did have something really weird happen when I was a teenager.
What was that?
Well, I was on a country road late at night. I was coming home, and I had this old Studebaker. That was my first
a
car.
Classic. Don't you wish you still had it? It'd be worth something to
I know, but it was the ugliest thing in the whole world. But anyway, you know, there was no power steering, of course. And I decided to do a little mind control and see if I could take my hands off the wheel, and of course it should go all over the road, but I held it you know, steady on the road. And I did that. I felt this incredible power at the time. And all of a sudden, I felt like someone was in the back seat watching me. And I just kind of freaked and grabbed the wheel.
That's all you need. Let's go to Francis in Los Angeles now. Francis, you are up with us.
Yes. Hello, George.
Hi.
Hello, Betsy.
Hi, Francis.
Well, I don't know where to start here, except we're going to start in a small little town on the border of Oklahoma and Kansas. The year is about 1994-95.
Okay.
And when I first got acquainted with Art Bell, he was coming in on a skip station, and I'd never heard of him before. They were talking about animal mutilations and so on back then. However, I got acquainted also with Daryl Sims down in Texas, and I kept in touch with him. And what I was told about these animal mutilations, not through Daryl Sims, but my own contact, that they were taking the blood and they were taking the soft tissue, and by they, I mean ETs.
Mm-hmm.
And they were being used, the cow's blood could be converted into human blood. And I said, well, that sounds silly. So anyway, they did have these hybrid babies, which were half human and half something else. And they needed the body parts from these cows, the soft tissue, for pieces that might be missing from the child. And they needed the blood to transfuse. Now, later on in the same town, which was a meatpacking company there, I was talking with the vice president of the big meatpacking company, and we were talking about, I said, why didn't a soap industry move in here, you know, for renderings and so on? He said, we waste nothing. He says, all of the whole blood that comes from the cattle goes to a place called Sublette, which is a small town in the middle of a triangle. And the plasma and, the plasma anyway is taken from the blood and platelets, and it's extracted. And the plasma and platelets are used to be processed for human blood transfusions. I said, really? And then the other blood is sent back to the packing place where they sell it for something else. So anyway,
wow, that's interesting. I've never heard that before.
Well, here's the point, Francis. What does that mean? What are they doing?
Beg your pardon?
What are they doing with this?
Well, at that time, from there, they were selling it to the biggest buyer was the Red Cross.
Okay.
And it would go off as human blood plasma and platelets.
But it wasn't.
Well, not all of it.
Oh,
they were missing
God.
It. But back to the animal mutilation, they were kind of doing the same thing. The same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, I thought, well, that's silly. Why would they use cow's blood? But it is mixable with human. And then on a guest on Art Bell's show was a man called Dr. Hayakawa. I believe he was a doctor, and he was from Gardena, California. And by golly, he was talking about the mixing of cattle blood with human blood, and it does mix. So I got a hold of Dr. Hayakawa when I moved to California, and we just compared notes.
And he still believed it?
Absolutely. I don't know if he's still around or not, but this has been some time ago. But that's where I had heard it on Art Bell show. And at the same time all this was going on, where I lived, was just about two blocks from the airport, and it was other folks there that having all kinds of experiences, and I kept seeing these things going through the sky that looked like long fluorescent light bulbs, and I says, what in heaven's name is that? And then I saw one following one of the planes taking off. So I talked to Daryl Sims, and I'm sure you know who he is.
Oh, yeah, he's been a guest before.
Right.
He's a great researcher.
And I said, told him about these light bulbs following these airplanes. And he says, yes, he's heard of those before also, but they've been seen all over.
Lots of paranormal things going on with you, Francis, I'll tell you that. Almost out of time here, Betsy. We'll
it
take some
sure
final,
is. It's
final
gone by
calls.
By fast, now. George.
Oh, it's brutally fast, isn't it?
It is.
Hey, where do people get Earth Energy, your latest book?
Well, it's on Amazon. That's on Amazon, and Communicating with the Other Side, experiences of a psychic medium, mystic revelations of 13, and angels, aliens, and prophecy, too. They're all there.
First-time caller now. Dan is in Destin, Florida. Hey, Dan, thanks for calling. Good morning. You're on the air with us.
Hey, how are you doing, George?
Okay, Danny.
Hi, Dan.
Betsy, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
I had a statement and then a couple of questions, really. I love the show, first off, George. And I had a dream. I always thought this is moms had the ESP type thing, you know, like they knew if you were doing all right or if you're doing bad. And at least my mom always did, and God bless her soul. But I had a dream, unfortunately, my first marriage, and that's what ended it, was the fact that I was on one side of a black room all by myself, and my wife was on the other side of the room with four or five other gentlemen who ended up, I come to find out, she had affairs with them. But that's a dream thing. But my main thing is I seem to, it's happened at least 20 times, maybe more. I'll be listening to the radio, and right before the next radio song comes on, I know what it is. And I don't care if it's Three Dog Night. It's not like it's a recapture of, you know, I mean, a lot of song stations play the same songs over and over. I mean,
yeah, they're all programmed.
It's got to be something to it, and I'm just wondering if that's something that's ESP, is something that I can work on. How can I? I mean, I'm not wanting to win the lotto or anything.
Darn, not a lot of people are though that way. How do you know you're having an extrasensory perception moment?
Well, I've had it many times, but I never know when it's going to happen. I mean, it just comes on, and Dan sounds like he's very psychic too. Excuse me, but I was in Reno, Nevada, and my husband and I were sitting at this bar, and I looked over at this slot machine, and I said, it's going to pay. I know it is. I'm getting this
call. You could feel it.
It's just calling me over there. So I put a couple of quarters in and won $100.
Woohoo! You know,
I can't explain it, but, you know, it happens. I don't do well with the lotto. You know, I just stay away from that. But, you know, when you get that intuitive feeling, you just know you're right. And it's such a strange, strong feeling.
And you're in the groove with it.
Exactly.
What about luck? Does that factor into any of this? Are some people luckier than others?
My mother had a friend who claimed that because she kissed the Blarney Stone that she was so lucky. She won every kind of, I think, everything that she entered. She was constantly taking trips that she won. It was amazing. So I do think there are some people, and I hear of people that win the lottery all the time. It's, how do they do that? You know, they just have that luck.
Let's go to Cody in Lake George, Colorado, west of the Rockies now. Cody, go ahead.
Hi, Cody. Hi, Betsy.
Hi, Cody.
It's really good to hear you guys. We run the Star Lodge Healing Center here.
Oh, great.
Way out in the mountains. And I've been a Pleiadian contactee since I was 7. But you're right, Betsy, about getting the messages about stuff's coming. Mm-hmm. We've been channeling 20 to 30 different messages about the coming earth changes with Nibiru, and they come from Ratesh. She's my Pleiadian contactee, and she's beamed me up on her ship on several occasions.
What's that
I
ship,
told George
Cody?
About that with Michael Horn one time.
Yeah, I remember that. What's that ship look like when you're inside of it?
Well, it was kind of grayish. You could see out the windows, and I'm about 6'2". And I was standing there about 4 feet away from her. She's been contacting me since I was 7 years old. And so the ship was very sleek, and it was telepathically operated. And so she's been channeling these messages to us telepathically. And we've got them all up on our website, and they've been coming every night, sometimes two times a day. And they're all about Nibiru coming and earth changes and the shadow governments and stuff like that.
Would they step in, Cody, and save us or not?
They're not limited. They're limited by karmic law. The Pleiadians have accrued karma on our planet from some of the things they did a long time ago with genetic manipulations and so forth. And they cannot interfere now with karmic law, but what they're trying to do is enlighten people by sending messages that are not filtered by the government and the intelligence agencies and stuff. They're trying to contact people directly so that their consciousness can be raised to a higher vibration.
You know, Betsy, there would have been a time years ago I would have said, nah, but you know what? This could be happening.
Well, I think so. I think Dan's onto something there. I really do. I just think that there's so much going on behind the lines, and I think he's right that they want us to get us out. You know, they want us to save ourselves. You know, that we got ourselves into this big mess. We have caused all these problems on Earth and all the pollution and everything. It's up to us to clean up our mess.
So true, Betsy. So true. Betsy's website. It's her name, Betsy Lewis, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boris, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everybody.